translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, translation. Lord Krishna enjoys by manifesting himself as the spiritual masters, the devotees, the diverse energies, the incarnations, and the plenary portions. They are all six in one. So there is no purport. We will proceed to text 34. Text 33. Echaya tatvera kari kare karana pandana pratame samanye kari mangala charana. I therefore worship the lotus feet of these six diversities of the one truth by invoking their benedictions. Text 34. Pande gurun isha bhaktan isham isha vatara rakan tat prakasham cha tat chakti krishna chaitanya samgyakam. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord of incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Purport. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has composed this Sanskrit verse for the beginning of his book, and now he will explain it in detail. He offers his respectful obeisances to the six principles of the Absolute Truth. Gurun is plural in number, because anyone who gives spiritual instructions based on the revealed scriptures is accepted as a spiritual master. Although others give help in showing the way to beginners, the guru who first initiates one with Maha Mantra is to be known as initiator, and the saints who give instructions for progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness are called instructing spiritual masters. The initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different dealings. Their function is to guide the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Babu and the six Goswamis in the category of Guru. Isha Bhaktan refers to the devotees of the Lord like Sri Srivas and all other such followers who are the energy of the Lord and are qualitatively non-different from him. Ishavatarakan refers to acharyas like Advaita Prabhu, who is an avatar of the Lord. Tat Prakashan indicates the direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Babu, and the initiating spiritual master. Tat Chakti refers to the spiritual energies, Shaktis, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadardar, Damodar, and Jagannath belong to this category of internal energy. The six principles are differently manifested, but all equally worshipable. Krishna Das Kaviraj begins by offering his obeisances unto them to teach us the method of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. The external potency of Godhead called Maya can never associate with the Lord, just as darkness cannot remain in the presence of light. Yet darkness, being but an illusionary and temporary covering of light, has no existence independent of light. Om Agyana Timdansha Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksul Umiltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Aveta Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So translation again. Krishna enjoys this by manifesting himself as the spiritual masters, the devotees, the diverse energies and incarnations and plenary portions. There are six, they are all six in one. So before I speak anything, I'd like to thank Bhakta Nimesh for giving me opportunity to speak in front of all the devotees and the Lord. And also I'd like to seek the blessings from all senior Vaishnavas and all the devotees who are present here. Thank you very much. Today is a very auspicious day, as you know, Diwali, the beginning of the year. So, especially in Diwali, we kind of have a lot of lights. So why do we have a lot of lights? Yes, thank you very much. And Lord Ram went to forest. The people in Ayodhya felt so much suffering. So they want to share suffering with Lord Ram. So whatever Ram goes through in forest, they want to have the same feeling. So the 14 years, people in Ayodhya, they didn't have a light at night. So when Lord Ram came back, and then they put the light on. But some scholars explaining that another meaning is that the Lord Ram came back and then actually he was flying. So when you put lights on, in the sky, it's easy to recognize where Ayodhya is. That's why they put lights on for the different explanation. But the significance of it is that when Lord comes, then darkness disappears. So our guru, actually the medium who gives us the darkness, passes us that light to us. So that's why this Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, before he say anything, he pay respect to not only his guru and all the gurus and the guru tattvas. And this guru tattva is very, very difficult and then, one sense, a very tricky subject to explain. But and yet, I'll go into a bit technical part of this guru. And also today, I'll explain about the purpose. Prabhupada said, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami composed this Sanskrit verse for the beginning of his book. So significance of Sanskrit also. So mainly today's class will be focused on the significance of Sanskrit and the unique contribution of Srila Prabhupada. So next week we will celebrate Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. So yesterday we celebrated the Tiruvurma Prabhu's disappearance. So today's class will be focused on these two main themes. Firstly, Sanskrit. And another thing is that the contribution of Srila Prabhupada. So in order to get into detail, so I'd like you participate. So if I ask anything, you must be willing to participate, yes? Okay. So let us talk about Sanskrit. So Sanskrit, actually, the original language of all languages is called mother language. But in that language, there is no word which is called to have. So in English, there is a lot of expression involved around have. So I have arm, I have head, sometimes I have a headache. Even material object, when we describe these things, for example, this table has four legs. And then this microphone doesn't have ear. Or this room has how many windows? More than 10 windows. So just imagine you want to describe something without using the word, the verb have, how many can you kind of describe? How much can you describe? So here, there is a book called Devavani Praveshika. So you know the word Vani and Bapu. Vani means the word. So Guru, the physical body of Guru, we call the Bapu. And then instruction of Guru, we call the Vani. So there is a debate that Vani is important or Bapu is important. But someone says equally important, or someone says Vani is more important. So Devavani, the word of Deva. So Praveshika means enters. So Vish means enter. That's why one who enters everywhere is called Vishnu. So Devavani Praveshika. Here, introduction to the Sanskrit language. In here, the author explains here, it is commonly used with a verb to be to indicate possession, as Sanskrit has no verb really equivalent to in English to have. So this meaning is that then in Sanskrit, how do you express things? For example, Lady Mataji, how many daughters do you have? How many daughters do you have? Yeah. How many children do you have? How many children do you have? No daughters, yeah. So you have two sons, yeah? Then in Sanskrit, then how can we express? Then I have two sons. Just think about it. How can you express? Yeah, we need a language, yes? So then in Sanskrit, the way they describe is that they are two sons of mine. And another way they expressing is that there exist, two sons exist of mine. So the focus is not have, focus is to exist. This is the language of Sanskrit. So basically, in Sanskrit language itself, there is no conception of possession. But language in English, the basic concept of the English is to have. It's possessive-centered language. So in the academic world, it's called possessive-centered language. It's English. Yes? But Sanskrit itself, and also if you study Sanskrit a little bit, normally the subject is missing. For example, I have a son, I have a daughter, or you have a son, you have a daughter. Always there is I and you has to come first in the sentence. But in Sanskrit, hardly ever this I or you comes right in the beginning. Actually, in the sentence, the subject is missing. Then how do you know? By recognizing verb itself, the carries, whether the meaning, the verb itself carries the meaning of I or you or he. So when you hear about verb have, in Sanskrit, this one signifies, I have, or you have, or he has. In this way, Sanskrit language is very, very unique language, and it's a very, very spiritual language. If you vibrate Sanskrit itself, it gives you certain meaning of renunciation. It helps you to renounce. Why this vibration? So you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying in English, but for 1 minute, 제가 만약 한국말로 이야기한다면 여러분은 지금 무슨 말인지 못 알아듣는 거예요. So you don't understand anything what I'm saying because I spoke in Korean just for seconds, for maybe 10 seconds. So understand that in order to get the message, we need to have the medium, right? So for example, every light has a medium, the source of light. Or every fire also has a source of that fire. For example, this wood can be a source of fire. So imagine every fire you see, without medium, the fire itself cannot exist. For example, either fuel, either oil, or paper, anything. When you think about fire, sometimes the gas also, the medium has to exist. Lights also. For example, the source of this light is electricity. So the medium, my point is that if a medium is corrupted, and the medium is a defect, then we cannot have proper light. For example, this dry wood, if you light it, it will burn very well. But let's say this is a wet wood or wet paper. When you try to light it, it cannot light. It cannot give a sufficient power of the fire. So, for example, the gross example. You cook such nice prasada with love and devotion. So you try to serve to the guests. So now your plate is very, very contaminated, very dirty. Then that food itself doesn't look good, right? And it's not very presentable. So in this way, the medium itself is, medium itself has full of the defects. So now, I'm going to contribution of the Prabhupada, unique contribution of Prabhupada. So now, let us think that we all speak such a language which has full of defects, but Prabhupada somehow or other translate all the Sanskrit into language we can understand better. So this one can be done only acharyas. So now here, Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami composed Sanskrit, I mean the Sanskrit verse. There is significance to it. Let's say, now, Bhagavad Gita is spoken 5,000 years ago. Which language is spoken? Sanskrit. Let's talk about Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam also spoken nearly 5,000 years ago. Now, the source of Srimad Bhagavatam, originally Krishna, Krishna to Brahma, and Brahma to Narada, they read this succession. But let us talk about the Srimad Bhagavatam we read. The source of Srimad Bhagavatam is, who is that? Sukadeva Goswami, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami spoke to the sages in Namasharanyam. So, let's say, Sukadeva Goswami spoke in Sanskrit. The listener, Parshim Maharaj and all other sages, they can understand Sanskrit directly. This is called monolingual, yes? And then, there is word or language which is passing through. And then there is the interaction of the language. Yes, this is called Sanskrit. So Parikshit Maharaj gives a question. So out of all the receivers, there was another sage called Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami speaks again to Shonaka Rishis and other sages, again, they repeat after 30 years. So now, they spoke which language? Again, Sanskrit. So imagine I speak Sanskrit and you speak Sanskrit, whatever I say, you understand clearly. But now, after 5,000 years later, Prabhupada understands Sanskrit. So Prabhupada read and hear Sukadeva Goswami directly from Sanskrit language. Now, the audience, we are a bit dull, cannot understand the Sanskrit. So Prabhupada has to translate in a way that we can understand, who doesn't have any knowledge of Sanskrit. So this is called translation. So, I don't know, any of you who work for the BBT, if you work for the BBT, if you start to translate, they give you a manual. What kind of manual? They give you a manual of this, the brief manual of this. The theory and practice of translation published for the United Bible Society. So, translation history of Bible is very long, much longer than our translation. So we try to get theory of Bible study. Why? Because they have more experience. So then why do you need to have this kind of guidance? So now, let me give you one example. Here, yesterday we celebrated Tribhuvana's disappearance day. He used to preach in Africa. So now, let's think about one word, snow. Yes? So we have a nice fairy tale of Snow White. Yes? Every word carries some symbolic meaning. So when you think about snow, what do you think? What kind of symbolic message in it when you say snow and white? Snow White, yeah? Snow. So white. White, what does it represent, this white? Huh? Purity, yes, purity. And then, what else? Cold. When you say Snow White, what can you think? Purity, because Snow White, the princess, is really pure. No, the snow, yeah. Let's focus on just purity, okay. Do not get complicated, it's okay. Snow White, this snow carries the meaning of purity, yes? So then now, this story, fairy tale, we take to Africa. So Jivanand Prabhu carries this Snow White story to Africa. So then, In the people in Africa, we say Snow White. Then they never seen snow, right? They never seen snow. Then we try to translate snow in their language. Then it doesn't mean anything, really, because they never seen snow. Yeah? So then how can you convey message of purity of the princess? So there must be some word in Africa which carries the meaning of purity. You know what that word means? Fungus. So in Africa, the fungus kind of have some connotation of purity. So it's such a different, yeah? Now, come back to language again. So this is trickiness of language. It is a trickiness of the conveying the message. So translation, what Prabhupada did for us, is not verbal consistency of the Sanskrit. Basically, he, in his purport, he put in a way that we can understand better of spiritual life. Even if we speak the same language according to our level of consciousness, we have to speak in different tune and different language. For example, imagine yourself, you are 5 years old. Then, I have to speak it totally in different language. Does it make sense? There's no response. So let me get to a bit more practical. So now I'm teaching you, for example, yoga. So everybody, please follow me. So stretch your arm like that. Do it. Try to together. Stretch your arm. This is yoga class. So I'm talking about language for this yoga class. And then put your arm to the top, right to the top. Put it together. And then stretch it to the 180 degree. Yeah, and put on the your lap, and then roll your shoulder outside and inwards. Yes, good, very good. Yeah, you are a good student of yoga. But now, if I speak to this to the 5 years old, will they understand? For example, stretch your arm to 108 degree like that. They will not understand. Then I have to swap my language into children's language. So now imagine yourself now 5 years old, yes? So everybody here 5 years old, yes? So I'm the teacher. So now shall we make a, let's say, apple pie? Shall we make apple pie? Yeah, good! Now, okay, you know to have apple pie, so we need to make, we need to get the apple together. Okay, let's go to the, farm. Let's get the apple here. Follow me. One apple. Follow together. Let's get the apple. And that side also. Get the apple. Yeah. And then you wash them. You wash them nicely. Yeah. Okay, now we need to get a knife. Okay, open the cupboard. Open the cupboard nicely. Okay, now chop it. Chop. Yeah. Like that. So now, we did the same exercise, but we use a different language, yes? So in this way, language itself is different. How we, according to level of our consciousness, according to level of what you call understanding. Now, you come back to the Srila Prabhupada. So what Prabhupada did was, when he came to West, then he realized that how degraded we are, the Westerns. And then he has to find a way that he has to convey this message to these fallen souls. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Prabhupada clearly explained in the purport. So the business of Acharya is that the duty of Acharya is that they have to convey the message which is spoken 5,000 years ago without altering them. But and yet, it should be suitable to the listeners. That's why when you go to the shop, so when we, for example, buy the toothpaste, for children toothpaste of a different flavor. So some banana flavor, some strawberry flavor. But and yet, it has the function of cleaning the teeth. Yes? So then our business is then cleaning our heart. So in order to clean our heart, Prabhupada put so much effort translating Sanskrit into English language. So, in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes we neglect to read Sanskrit. Sometimes we neglect read the word-for-word translation. But actually, we shouldn't. Although it's difficult for us, we have to read through this Sanskrit and the word-for-word translation. Why? There is a hidden meaning behind it. Because Prabhupada put so much effort. He wants to give us small access to Sanskrit. So this is a significance and then unique contribution of Prabhupada. Yes? So then basically it has to do with the meaning, really, not the word itself. So when you analyze this kind of perspective, so everything actually comes from a Vedic culture. So today I'm coming to this mandir, and then it's a traffic light. So in the traffic light, it has three lights, red, yellow, and green. What is the origin of traffic light? Do you know that? Huh? Somebody said something. Actually, this is also Vedic culture. When English people, when they associated with the Indians, when the English invaded the India, a lot of Indians came to England, and they kind of mixing together. And then they realized that the ladies who are wearing saris and who are wearing and who are married, they put dot here, red one, yes? So then this one, just not just a color, each color also signifies a certain meaning. So the red means strength. At the same time, I have a husband. Don't look at my face. This is what it means. Otherwise, my husband will kill you. This is the meaning of red. Basically, stop looking at me, which means the carriage, stop looking at me. This is called red thought. And another green means you continue, you go on. So they have noticed that this kind of meaning. They have, so that's why when they put traffic light, actually they took idea from association with this of the Indians. Yeah. Actually, today Ram came to Ayodhya. And there is one incident that Lakshma and Ram searching for Sita, and then in the forest, Lakshma, you know, he put a magic circle around the Sita, and then somehow the Sita ran away, kidnapped by the Ravan, you know, attracted by golden deer. And then they were searching for it. And they found one object. It's the ankle bangle. Ankle bangle. And then Lakshman immediately noticed, oh, this is Sita's. Then Ram asked Lakshman, how come you know this is Sita? It's someone else's, maybe. Because Lakshman said, I never look at the Sita's face. I always look at her feet. That's why I can see clearly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So in this way, everything has significance. So today is Diwali, yes? Today also has a very, very kind of a unique significance. But, and yet, in Western world, when you think about Western world, actually we are living in the illusion. We have to think about it. So now, this year 2009, yes? Next year will be year 2010. So each year, increases. So this number will never stop. But Vedic calculation of time is circles. At the end of Kali Yuga, you come back to Satya Yuga. And it goes round and round and round. But Western world, the calculation of the year never stops. All the straight line, yes? So because they have this concept, it goes straight line, they think they are getting advanced. But it's wrong. Can you imagine that? Even Kamsa had this conception of time. So for example, someone asked Kamsa, why did you kill all the baby? Because only 8th child will kill you. So you don't need to kill from the number 1 to 7. You kill only 8th one. You know how Kamsa replied? No. That's not the way we calculate. For example, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But if you calculate from the next one, 1, 2, 6, 5, 6, 8. So which one is number 8? We don't ever know. Yes? That's why I have killed them all. But it looks like a funny story, but and yet it conveys the message of Vedic culture. So it goes round and round. So then, let's talk about reincarnation theory also comes. So our body keeps changes according to our karma. But according to Western concept, once you leave this body, for example, once you leave this material world, you never come back. Why? Because they have a conception of the straight line. Once you leave the line, you don't come back. Yes? But we come back again and again and again. So that's why we don't want to come back. That's why we need to have mercy of Guru and the Lord. Does it make sense? Yeah. So then, in order to have, now my class is coming to conclusion, that in order to have this mercy, what do we need? We have to clean the heart. Without cleaning heart, we cannot receive mercy. So then, what is the proof and evidence of cleaning our heart? Heart becomes soft like butter. Then Krishna will love the soft butter. So Krishna will steal it. Yes? That's why in this specific this month we offer candle. Yes? To Krishna, to Damodar. So then why do we offer candle? In order to clean our heart, we have to sacrifice ourselves. Yes? Candle signifies that it gives light to everyone, but he burns himself. Eventually, his body disintegrates. So if without this significant meaning, if you just open the candle, it becomes richer. So okay, Damodar month, okay, let's go to the Lord and open candle, one for me, one for my wife, one for my children. Okay, let me open three things like that. It's just a richer. But while you open candle, if you meditate that how can I sacrifice myself? How can I burn myself? And then how can I give things to others? My existence has a certain meaning. So we have unique opportunity. Yeah, this body, human form of body, is very, very rare to achieve. Now, let me take this opportunity to serve the Lord. By serving the Lord, actually, I'm burning all my karma behind it. So everybody has a certain baggage of karma. We cannot avoid it. But by opening the candle, by sacrificing myself, I'm burning all that. So once we burn all that, then our heart gets soft like butter. Heart also gets melts. Then Krishna will love it. So then we'll be with Krishna. Yes? Okay. So thank you for your kind attention. And is there any correction and question or comment, please?